Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for March 5th, 2017. I want to begin today by giving a very happy anniversary to my parents, Rick and LaVita White. They celebrate 41 years of marriage today. Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. I love you very much. I know they usually catch these podcasts, so I'll give them that happy anniversary greeting separate from this, but I wanted everyone to know how much I love and appreciate them. Let's get started today. Romans chapter 5, verse 21, concluding the fifth chapter, and today we'll work the transition into the sixth chapter. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got a contrast that sin reigns in death, and so on the opposite side, grace reigns through righteousness. This doesn't have, to me, I don't think this has anything to do with natural death. But death is in terms of cut off from the life of God. Because when you get into the sixth chapter, we are going to have been buried with Christ at baptism and raised in his life. And so where we are identified with sin, we are identified as not having the life of God, thus dead to the life of God, a fulfillment of what God said to Adam when he said, if you eat it, you shall surely die. The death Adam experienced was being cut off from the life of God. So sin is crowned in that environment because being cut off from the life of God, man turns to a life of sin. By contrast, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. So in a man who knows he is God's righteousness, grace is crowned. Again, if you're in death, cut off from the life of God, sin is crowned. If you are in righteousness, where your righteousness is due to who Christ is in you and who you are in Christ, then grace is crowned. And again, sin and grace stand opposite of one another. Remember, we covered this the last couple of days. The previous verse, Romans 5:20, that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So the opposite then of sin is not doing right. The opposite of sin is grace. What we need in the midst of sin is grace. So we identify as people who are righteous, thus we have the life of God, thus we are crowned with grace. Now, through righteousness, I'm still in 21, through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, Christ is the centerpiece of this verse. He's the centerpiece of this entire issue of sin having been conquered through the last Adam. He's the central piece of grace reigning in your life. But Paul talks about eternal life being yours as well. And I think it's worth noting that eternal life is not merely and not only living forever, but it's the quality of the life of God. So when the Bible talks about everlasting life or eternal life, don't limit that statement to meaning I'm going to live forever. Think of it in terms of I am having the life of the everlasting one. The life of the eternal one is living in and through me. And then with all of that, having built up that great case in the fifth chapter, Paul having arrived at what we call the end of the chapter, Paul did not call it that, he then quickly transitions into a question at the top of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And I go back over something we've said over and over again, that I think this book is a Q&A style, question and answer format. And I think it's quite possible that the question and answers we are seeing is with Paul and Tertius, who Romans 16:22 says wrote the epistle. And that doesn't mean it's his book, but he wrote down what Paul says. And I think due to the nature of the question and answers that we see And I'll have further proof of this deeper into the book when Paul actually says, now some of you may say, and then he asks a question, which marks to me two different literary styles. One where he just asks the question, and another where he says, now you may ask the question, which kind of tells me that maybe someone's actually asking him some of these questions. We'll cover that in more ground as we get there. But so when you see something like verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I think it's quite possible that Tertius and he are sitting at a table, and Tertius says, what are you saying, Paul? Based upon what you just said, should we go ahead and sin that grace may abound? Now, what would cause him to ask that question if not the over-the-top teaching at the end of the fifth chapter, in which Paul says, where iniquity doth abound, grace doth much more abound? And I think it causes him to ask, wow, does that mean we can go ahead and sin? Now, I feel like there's so much here, and there's so many good places to go with this, that I want to stop for today so we can give this the full attention it needs tomorrow to deal with this powerful question at the beginning of Romans 6. And so we'll stop now, hoping you have a fantastic day. Grace to you. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.